vacation and traveling and different things going on and coming and going, and it's just nice to see faces. And appreciate Brother Jim for ministering last Sunday, and Caleb for doing worship and giving us an opportunity to be away with family. Had a family commitment, and so we're always excited to be able to do that. I love family. And, you know, we were heading back home and trying to decide what we're doing, and we decided to stop over and rest. And I told Dan, I said, I've been preaching on rest for a month at church, and I'm not very good at it. I've decided that I'm just not very good at it. And he said, I was going to say that to you, but I didn't. I mean, sometimes it's hard to rest. It's hard to be away, but I'm so thankful for those who will give opportunity and can step in and share the word of the Lord. And the word in this house is so rich with so many that have the ability to share and to do worship and all of that. We're such a blessed house. And so I honor the Lord today, and I honor you today. It's an exciting time, I think, at Word of Deliverance. It's an exciting time. In season, it's exciting time in our world. How many know there's a lot of crazy going on in our world, but how many know there's a lot of good too? The crazy sells, so that's what we hear. We don't always hear about the good. We don't always hear about the hand of God. And I was just thinking there as I was worshiping and thinking about, you know, just some of the things that I've seen God do over the last little bit. And I think we sometimes we question the side when we see chaos and things like that, but yet we don't always see the hand of God at work in the midst of it. And so I'm so thankful that, you know, when we sang the song, you know, it hit me this morning, as it always does, the waves and wind still know his name. He's the same God. He's the same one who walks on the water. He's the same one who comes to us in the midst of the storm. And in that midst, he says to us, come to me, just as he did to Peter. And then he says to the storm, peace, be still. And so I'm thankful that he still knows, that the waves and winds still know his name. Beth sang the song also, you are beautiful, you are beautiful. Oh God, there's no one more beautiful. Did you sing that to him this morning? Hallelujah. But I hope when you sing that song, you also hear what she told you before about that song. He's singing that to you. You are beautiful. You are beautiful. There's no one more beautiful. I hope you see yourself in the view of how God sees you today. You know, I talked to many people, and even this week I said, I wish you could see yourself wrapped right up in the arms of Jesus. And see him carrying you and loving you and nurturing you. Because sometimes when we feel like we failed and we're not good enough, or, you know, we're a failure or we're weak. How many are thankful that even when we're weak, he is strong. And he is strong in us. Hallelujah. So I hope you see yourself beautiful in his eyes today. And I hope that when you have those times that you can see him carrying you. You know, I think of the picture of Psalms 91, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge, my fortress, and my God. In him will I trust. And I just believe on the wings of that mercy seat, in the wings of that secret place, those wings of the cherubim just encompass round about us, and he carries us. Hallelujah. Well, Bernadette is in the house this morning, and she's saying a big old amen. You know me, that don't bother me a bit. If your church ain't crying, it's dying. That's how we just say it. I don't ever want to come to church without babies being there, with children being there. I love the sound of the chaos going back through there when we release for Sunday school. I even like the sound of chaos while we're having worship. It might distract you, and you might think that they're not paying attention, and they're just here, there, and everywhere, and sometimes they are. We got to rein them back in a little bit. But how many know they're being poured into? They're hearing those words, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art. They're hearing it. They're seeing it and they're knowing it. Amen. And so there is much a part of our service is we are. I get myself crying. I won't be able to see. So let's get started. Hallelujah. I want to share a little bit today about baptism, because next Sunday we're going to do baptism in the lake at Kekapin State Park. And I love to do baptism services. But sometimes we have some questions about it. We don't know about it. We don't understand it. And so I'm going to share some things this morning that I hope that you can gather something out of it or grasp something out of it. And by all means, if you have any questions about baptism and you want to know about it, please come and see me. I would love to talk to you about it. If you know someone who wants to be baptized, come see me. We'll be glad to share with them about baptism and about the goodness of God and his graciousness and what all of that means. Amen? And so many of you probably have already experienced the experience of baptism. The scripture says that you must be born again. That you must be born again. And then I believe one step farther than our being born again. How many know born again? When Nicodemus came to Jesus, Jesus said to him, you got to be born of the water and of the Spirit. And, I believe that we can equate the water to the word. A lot of times in the word, we're going to talk about the word says that he will cleanse us by the washing of the water by the word. How many know the word cleanses us? The word challenges us. The word might even rebuke us or chasten us at times. I mean, sometimes I got to quote the word to myself. I got to tell myself what the word says. But it challenges me. But he said, you've got to be born of the water and of the Spirit. When you were born into this world, in the very beginning, you were born in water. Right? When that mama's water breaks, it is time for baby to get here. Water helps you be birthed. It helps make the birthing process work. And so you were born of water. But how many know we're also in the Spirit born of water, which is the Word, and also born of the Spirit. And so when he says to Nicodemus, he says, you got to be born again. And Nicodemus, being a teacher of the law, said, how can I, once I am old, enter again into my mother's womb to be born again? And Jesus said, you being a teacher of the law, and you ask me that question? Seriously, you're not talking about being born in that manner again, right? He said, but you got to be born of water and of the Spirit. There's a realm where we just know that we have a need of a Savior. How many can remember the moment when you said, I need Jesus. I have the need of a Savior. I need to be born again. I need to just ask Jesus to come into my heart and to save my soul. And it literally is that simple. You can do it in your pew. You can do it at the altar. You can do it at grandma's rocking chair. You can do it riding down the road. You can do it on your sick bed. But he says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord, what? Come on, say that again. Shall be saved. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. I remember the moment that I cried out to the Lord. I remember where I was when I said, ask the Lord to come into my heart. I remember where I was. And I remember the experience and I remember the time. Anybody else raise your hand and say, I remember the time. But hey, I'm not just talking about saying some words. I'm talking about a heart that says, God, I'm yours. God, I am yours. Use me for your will and for your glory. Whatever your destiny for me is, that's what I want in my life. And we sometimes are afraid to say, Lord, here I am. Use me, whatever your destiny for me is, because we automatically think that God's going to send me to missions in Africa or whatever, And how many know God has so many ministries and missions are just one of those. And for one person, we might cry out and say, Lord, send me on missions to Africa. But somebody else might just say, Lord, make me a good mama. Father, make me a faithful teacher. God, give me giftings in medicine that I can minister to people. God, help me to know how to legislate. God, help me to understand physics or science, whatever it is. How many know all of those things are giftings and talents? We so limit God's ability to do things in our life to what happens right here in this building. And we think if we're not a pastor, teacher, worship leader, whatever, then we're not called into ministry. I want to tell you that everyone in here is called into the ministry of the saints. And God has given you giftings and talents and abilities that he wants to increase. If you will just realize, hey, God gave me that talent. How many know some people have the gift of gab? They could talk the wallpaper right off the wall. Now, that can be a gifting. But let me know, there, you know, some people have the gift of hospitality. Some people can, and when I say that, the gift of gab, I don't mean that in a bad way. There are people who do not talk to, that never meet a stranger. But they have ability to connect with people on a level that they just can talk and just share Jesus and whatever. I'm at a yard sale the other day. I know, you don't believe that, right? I'm still jealous I didn't get to the Route 11 crawl, but that's all right. I forgive all you who did. I know you did. I was there the other day. I'm out back shopping, and I hear this sister talking to this other sister about Jesus and about church and all of that kind of stuff. And here's Sister Jenny just telling them all about Jesus and all about church and all of that. And the lady says, I got goosebumps. I feel the Holy Ghost. Let me just tell you, the Holy Ghost shows up at yard sales. In case y'all didn't know that. But there are people who have the ability to connect. We have so many giftings and talents in the body of Christ, whether it be with your mind, whether it be with your hands, whether it be with your feet, whatever it might be. Please do not sell yourself short and say, well, God never called me to anything. Oh, yes, he did. Oh, yes, he did. He's called you to be an honorable father. He's called you to be a righteous mother. He's called you to be a friend. He's called you to be a saint. He's called you to be part of the body of Christ, where every joint supplies. Where we work together. When one member suffers, we all suffer. I mean, we've walked through some things in the last few months, but we've walked through them together. And we've walked to him knowing that we have the strength of the body of Christ and we have the power of the Holy Spirit walking in us that we can cry out and say, God, I need you. I need some backup prayer. I need some help. Whatever it is, the power of the Holy Spirit. So we must be born again. And then I think one of the next greatest things we can experience in our Christian life is baptism. Now, when I say baptism, we do baptism by immersion. We put you down. We don't hold you there. We'll bring you right back up. Few we've had to double dip, but not very often. I'm just messing with you. Don't get upset with me. We do it by immersion because immersion is a symbol of being buried with him and then being resurrected into new life. And you need to know that. Now, other people do baptism in different ways. I'm not throwing off on baptism, but when you bury something, you completely cover that up. Amen. And so what we're doing when we are buried with him, he said, you are buried with him in baptism. And here's what you got to know is you are resurrected with him into new life. That just as he was buried and came back to new life, you have been buried. That old man, that old person, that old nature is buried. It is gone. It is done. We had a funeral service for that and said, you are resurrecting into new life in Christ. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new in Christ Jesus. It is not the waters of Kekapin State Park that will save you. There is no water on earth that can wash away your sins. What washes away your sins is the blood of Jesus Christ. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious. Precious is that flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And that's what we identify with in our baptism. Now, what age do we get baptized? Whatever age you feel like you understand Jesus and you want to get baptized. So we baptize kids. We baptize adults. We baptize seniors. We don't care. Now, sometimes the kids might want to line up and get a second dip just because they think it's fun to do that. I don't get worked up about that because they're identifying with that. They understand that baptism, and there'll come a time in their life when they'll say, I remember that moment in the lake. And it might not hit them until a little bit later on, but it's something they won't forget. Sometimes people want to get baptized more than once. Do I think it takes the first time? Yes, I do. But if you come to a point in your life, you say, I just want to renew that. I want a reminder of that. I want to just bury some things. I want to bury some past. I want to just bury. I just need to put that under the blood. If I just want to identify with that, I just want a reminder of that. But do it. Whatever it is in your heart that you want to do, baptism is just that experience with you and Jesus. And it's an open declaration of what's happening on the inside of you. And so it's what you're saying to the world is, I have buried the old person that I used to be, and I am resurrected in Christ. Now, if I don't act any different on Monday morning when I get up, did it still take? Oh, yes, it did. More than you know. What you need to know, it's not your strength that's going to save you. It's not what you do that's going to save you. It's what he did that's going to save you. It's the power of the cross. It's the power of the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. I'm going to have to break out into some old hymn songs this morning here before we get done. But, I mean, there is power in the blood of Jesus. In the precious blood of the Lamb. And so, I want to go to Ephesians, I think, is my first scripture. I'm grateful that these tablets enlarge, but I keep enlarging it more and more, and it starts running off the page after a while. So I'm going to break out my glasses here so I can see. Help me, Holy Ghost. It says, husbands, love your wives. That's a good sermon to talk about on baptism, right? How in the world does this play into baptism? Let me say it again. Husbands, love your wives. Seek the highest good for her. Surround her with a caring, unselfish love. That's what the word says. Can somebody say amen? All the ladies said amen. Just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her, listen to this, so that he might sanctify the church, having cleansed her by the washing of the water with the word of God, so that in turn he what? Might present the church to himself in glorious splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy, set apart for God, and blameless. Even so, husbands should and are morally obligated to love their own wives as being, in a sense, their own bodies. He who loves his own wife loves himself, for no one ever hated his own body, but instead he nourishes, listen to this, and protects and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church. Now, I want to read that to you again. Christ nourishes and protects and cherishes his bride, the church, all of us. We make up the bride of Christ because we are members or parts of his body. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and his mother, shall be joined and be faithfully devoted to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery of two becoming one is great, but I am speaking with reference to relationship of Christ and the church. However, each man among you, without exception, is to love his wife as his very own self, with behavior worthy of respect and esteem, always seeking the best for her with an attitude of loving kindness, and the wife must see to it that she respects and delights in her husband, that she notices him, prefers him, and treats him with loving concern, treasuring him, honoring him, and holding him dear. And that's what the word says, and everybody says, amen. But the scripture talks there about that he is going to present a bride that he has washed with the water of the word. And I don't know about you, but growing up, I always heard that God is coming back for a church without spot or wrinkle. So you better get ready, because if you have spot or wrinkle and he comes back, you're going to miss it. May I am the only one in the house. Anybody hear that growing up? That God is going to come back for a church without spot or wrinkle. Now, that is partly that what that scripture says. But how many know the scripture is not talking about getting, it says that Christ loved the church and gave himself forth that he might, what, sanctify the church, him having cleansed her by the washing of the water with the word, that he might present the church to himself in glorious splendor without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. Who gets rid of the spots and the wrinkles? He does. Who gets rid of everything that needs to be washed away? He does. How does he do that? By the work of the cross. There's nothing you've done in your own self, in your own flesh, or in your own weakness that's more powerful than what Jesus did on the cross. And you need to know that. Amen. And so he talks about this in the relevance of covenant. How many know God is a covenant God? We might want to break covenant with him. God don't break covenant. He is a covenant God. And he uses the covenant of marriage as a symbol of how he loves his bride, how he loves his church. Now, I could break off and go into all the reasons why we need to love our husbands or love our wives and be joined together and to be bone of bone and flesh of flesh and be how the two become one. How many know after so many years of marriage, you start reading each other's mind? It's scary sometimes. It's scary sometimes. I said something this morning and Dan said, I just thought that and didn't even have a chance to say it yet. But how many know you start to think, hopefully, somewhat alike. What I mean by that, you start to read each other's. You know what they're going to say. You know how they're going to react in a situation. You know where they're going to approach that from. And how many know we need to become so in tune with Jesus and so connected with him that he knows our minds and we know the mind of the Father? I know how Jesus would react in this situation. And because I know that, I know how to react. Because I know how my husband, who I'm joined to, as we are the bride of Christ. And so we become of one flesh. I have a mug at my house that says, find a man who messes up your lipstick and not your mascara. Let me say that one more time. Find a guy who would mess up your lipstick and not your mascara. In other words, he might kiss you on the lips, but he's not going to leave you crying. I mean, there's a difference. There's a difference. Being equally yoked, having the same heart, having the same vision, and having the same mind. How many know it is hard to be in ministry? It is hard to do what God has called you to do and be yoked with a partner who does not have the same heart or same vision as you. But how many know God says that he does the washing, he does the cleansing, he does the presenting. This is my bride who I have made ready. Here she is. Here comes the bride without spot, without wrinkle, and without blemish. How many know that's what baptism is about? It's about him presenting his bride without spot, without wrinkle, and without blemish. And so, Romans 8, 1 through 4, and I'm reading these today out of the Amplified, says, therefore there is now no condemnation, no guilty verdict, no punishment for those who are in Christ Jesus, who believe in him as personal Lord and Savior. For the law of the Spirit of life, which is in Christ Jesus, the law of our new beginning. I mean, no, that's what we have in baptism. It's our new beginning. Has set you free from the law of sin and death. How many know the law of the law of our new being in Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life has replaced the law of sin and death? How many know we're not under the Mosaic law anymore? We're not under the old covenant law, but we're under the law of the Spirit of life that we have in Christ Jesus. For the law, what the law could not do, that is, overcome sin and remove its penalty, its power, being weakened by the flesh, man's nature without the Holy Spirit, God did. He sent his own Son in the likeness of sinful man as an offering for sin. And he condemned sin in the flesh, subdued it, overcame it in the person of his own Son, so that the righteousness and just requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not live our lives in the ways of the flesh, guided by worldliness and our own sinful nature, but live our lives in the ways of the Spirit, guided by his power. How many believe that God wants us to live a Spirit-guided life? How many believe that the Spirit can speak to you? How many believe that the Spirit can prod your heart? You ever been somewhere and just felt like God was speaking to you? You ever pulled in someplace and said, you know what, I'm just going to pull back out of here. Just don't feel right. We've pulled into places at night traveling or a gas station or something and just say, I just don't feel right. I've been riding down the road and feel the presence of God and say, I'm going to slow down. I don't know what's ahead, but I'm going to slow down. Or, you know, God will speak to you wherever you are, and he will speak to you in the simplest of things if we will be sensitive to hear what he is saying to us. We see this, the demonstration of baptism when we see Jesus come onto the shore with John the Baptist. And the scripture said that when Jesus comes on the shore and John is preaching, he said, I'm not him. I'm not the one. But I come to bear witness of the one whose shoes I'm not worthy to unlatch. I baptize you indeed with water, but he's going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit. I mean, no, there's a baptism of water, and then there's a baptism of the Holy Spirit. The infilling power, the presence of God, the dunamis power of God. That is an indwelling Spirit of God that fills us as well. I mean, Jesus didn't come just to fulfill the law, but he came to bring the Spirit. That we could bear witness of the Father. And so, John baptizes Jesus, and the scripture said when he baptized him that the heavens opened and the Spirit descended on him in the form of a dove. How many know the dove is a symbol of the Holy Spirit? How many know what happened is the heavens opened and the Spirit was made available for all of us? You now have access to an open heaven. Not only did the heavens open, but you also have the affirmation of the Father. Do you know when you go down in baptism, when Jesus came back up, he said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. You need to start seeing yourself as a son or daughter of the Father and not an orphan or a renegade. How many know he publicly from the heavens said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And at that point, he introduced the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. I want to go to John 2, 1 through 12 out of the Amplified and just talk about this real briefly. It says, on the third day there was a wedding. Amazing. Imagine that. We just read Ephesians 5 that talked about the bride and the Father presenting the bride. Now we're going to talk about the first miracle that Jesus does happens to take place at a wedding or a place of covenant. On the third day, there was a wedding at Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there, and both Jesus and his disciples were invited to the wedding. When the wine was all gone, the mother of Jesus said to him, they have no more wine. Jesus said to her, dear woman, what is it that you want me to do? That What is it? What is that to you and to me? My time to act and to be revealed has not yet come. His mother said to his servants, whatever he says to you, do it. Now there were 6 stone pots set there for the Jewish custom of purification. It was a ceremonial washing pot containing 20 or 30 gallons each. Jesus said to the servants, fill the water pots with water. So they filled them up to the brim. Then he said to them, draw some out now and take it to the head waiter of the banquet. So they took it to him. And when the head waiter tasted the water, which had turned into wine, not knowing where it came from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew, he called the bridegroom and said to him, everyone else serves the best wine first. And when people have drunk freely, then he serves that which is not so good. But you have kept back the good wine until now. This, the first of his signs, attesting miracles, Jesus did in Cana of Galilee and revealed his glory, displaying his deity and his great power openly. And his disciples believed confidently in him as the Messiah. They adhered to, trusted in, and relied on him. After this, he went down to Capernaum, he and his mother and brothers and his disciples, and they stayed there a few days. Jesus goes to the wedding at Cana of Galilee. Most times when you had a wedding back in those days, it lasted about a week. Lord help us if they lasted that long now. I don't know how you survive a wedding for a week, but 2 days is probably plenty. But anyway, so they're at the wedding, right? And they're just guests at the wedding. And they run out of wine. To not have wine at a wedding was a real offense. It meant that you did not plan. You did not make proper preparation for that wedding. It would be a great embarrassment to those who were hosting the wedding. Somehow they come to Mary and they say to her, they have no wine. They have run out of wine. Jesus says to his mother, King James says it like this, what is that to us? Why are you telling me that they have run out of wine? This is not my time nor my hour. And what I love about this is Mary does not even respond back to Jesus when he says that. But here's one of my favorite lines. She says, whatever he says to you, do it. Whatever he says to you, just do it. And I want to say to you this morning, his voice, his ways, and his will are way closer to you than you know. And you might see deficit, and you might see lack. But when you begin to hear his voice, whatever he says, just do it. I mean, sometimes it's the simplest of things that when we just heed his voice, miracles can happen. Things change when we just do what the command of the Father is. Whatever he says to you, do it. If he tells you to send a text, do it. If he tells you to bake a cake, do it. If he tells you to stop by and visit, do it. When he tells you to ask the cashier how their day was and tell them about Jesus, just do it. Whatever he speaks to you, do it. Because can I just tell you this morning, you are on the verge of a miracle. Miracles don't have to be huge. They don't have to be big. They don't even have to be visible. But when God begins to move, things happen. Now, here's what's happening at this thing. There are 6 vats of water, vases, jugs, whatever, of water. They hold 20 to 30 gallon of water. They're used for ceremonial washing. Before you could have come into the wedding, you would have had to have stopped and washed your hands. You would have had to purify yourself before you could come in. So you didn't bring any uncleanness into the wedding or into the covenant place or into that area. And so they were the bathtubs, if I can say it like that, that set outside of the wedding. Jesus said to them, fill the pots with water. He did not take necessarily what was in the pots, he said, fill them up again with water. And when he did, he said, now draw out of them and take it to the host of the wedding and give it to them. I have a chamber pot at my house out there, and I didn't have it in town. I was going to bring it this morning. Does everybody know what a chamber pot is? Does anybody not know what a chamber pot is? It's the pot that you used to use in the old days when you didn't have indoor plumbing, and you had an outhouse, and you didn't want to go outside in the dark, so you kept the chamber pot under the bed. Right? Am I right? Okay. And then you would empty it in the morning, and then that would save you from going outside, right? If I'd have brought you all a drink today out of the chamber pot, how many of you would have drank it? Only the ones who didn't know what it was. There you go. There you go. What I'm trying to say to you is, I did this example one time before, and I said, red wine or white? You get it? Red wine or white? Because if I dip it out of there as the servant, and I'm supposed to take it to the head guy, and it's white, I don't know if there's been a change. And I'm not too sure about taking bath water to the head honcho. But if I dip it in there and that white water turned red and I take it to him, I know something happened, right? I know there's been a miracle. And how many times have you had to step out on your faith and say, I don't see nothing changing. It doesn't look any different than it did yesterday. And that deficit doesn't look like it's changed. Yet when you dip in, whatever he says to you, do it. Because when you do, when you get it to that head host and you're trusting in faith that something happened and it doesn't taste like bathtub water, and all of a sudden they taste of it and say, wow. You have saved the best to the last. Everybody serves the good wine in the beginning while everybody is all still on this side of level. Right? But when they get on this side of level, nobody knows what the wine tastes like after that. But you have saved the best to last. Can I tell you, Jesus was the best to last. He was what was to be saved. Six was the number of man. It was clay pots. How many know in the wilderness, Moses got water out of a rock. But in the new covenant, Jesus gets new wine out of a rock. And when he does, he gets the attention of everyone at the feast. And all of a sudden, he realizes, I was born for such a time as this. This is my day. This is my moment. This is my time. I'm about to take man's means of cleaning themselves up. I don't care how many baths you take. You can't clean yourself up. But when Jesus begins to pour the new wine of the new covenant into your heart and into your vessel, miracles happen. Who can raise their hand in here this morning and say, when Jesus came into my heart, change happened. Miracles start to happen. There was a change that took place in my heart. There was a change that took place in my attitude. There was a change that took place in my relationship. There was something that happened when I allowed Jesus to pour into my earthen vessel, my clay pot, full of my own attempt to wash myself up. But when he poured in of himself, of the new wine, of the new covenant, all of a sudden it wasn't about me anymore. It was all about him and the redemptive work of the cross. And that's what baptism is about. I can wash you all the times you want in the Cape and Park Lake, and you'll go down dry and come up wet. But if you identify with the death, burial, and the resurrection of Jesus, and you realize what he did for you on the cross, you say, Lord, I am connecting with you. I am in covenant with you. And I lay down my own life, and I resurrect my new life in my new ways in Christ Jesus. Old things are passed away, and all things new. New beginnings, new steps, new opportunities. Hallelujah. The washing of the water by the word. What is Jesus saying here in this? The old covenant, there was washing pots, clay pots, all kinds of diverse washings that they had to do. Do you remember when the scripture, when Jesus, when they said to the disciples of Jesus, said, what is it about your disciples that they eat with unwashed hands? I mean, that was against their covenant. It was against their culture. It was against their traditions. You didn't wash your hands. And Jesus said to them, he said, you're so concerned about what the outside looks like, but on the inside, he said, you're full of dead man's bones. On the outside, you look like whited sepulchers, but inside, you're full of dead man's bones. He said, it's not what enters into a man that defiles him. It's what comes out of the heart. I tell people all the time, I'm looking for the heart. I'm looking for the intentions. I'm looking for the goodness of the heart, because if I can find goodness in the heart, the rest of it can measure up. God will take the goodness and the desire and the intent of your heart, and he will make it and mold it and shape it into his will and his desire if you will let him, if you will yield it to him. Whatever he says to you, just do it. Just do it. Whatever he's speaking to you. When he tells you in a service to go lay hands on somebody, when he tells you to encourage somebody, when he tells you and gives you a word for somebody, don't hold back. Don't be fearful. Don't be afraid. Don't think, you know, you don't have it or whatever. Just do it. Just do it. Just respond. Old covenant was the washings, the six clay pots. The new covenant is washing with new wine. It's the water baptism. And then we see water baptism, but we also see the baptism of the Holy Spirit in the picture of the Canaan of Galilee, because not only it was water, but now it's spirit. Stone jars were like the water from the rock that Moses had in the wilderness, that he had to strike the rock to get. How many know Jesus just had to speak the word? Fill it up fresh. New wine of the Spirit from the rock of ages. I mean, the wine that Jesus gave at the wedding of Cana was from the rock of ages. It was from the stone that the builders rejected that became the chief cornerstone. They said in there, you saved the best to last. How many know Jesus was the best that God had? He saved the best to last. Hallelujah. Can I tell you this morning that your best is yet to come? Your past is behind you. Your future is bright, and it is before you, and it is there for you and available for you if you will cash in on what he has for you. When Jesus sits with his disciples, and I'm closing with this, when Jesus sits with his disciples at the Last Supper, and he gets up from the table and he takes a basin, and he wraps himself, he girds himself with a towel. And he comes over to the feet of the disciples. He said, you're not going to understand all of this right now. But you will. You will in time. And he lowers himself to the position of what the lowest servant in the house would have done. The lowest servant that operated in the house was the one responsible for washing feet. And it was custom that somebody come into your house after walking in their sandals through the dusty, dry, dirty terrain over there, that you would wash their feet in refreshing. And Jesus takes a basin and he sets at the feet of his disciples and he gets ready to wash their feet, and Peter gets offended. What? You are not going to wash my feet. I mean, you're the dude, you're the man, you are not going to wash my feet. And I just think Jesus probably carried a smile most of the time at Peter. And he said, Peter, I don't wash you, you don't have any part with me. Peter's response was, and don't just wash my feet. Wash my head. Wash my hands. Wash my heart. Wash me from head to toe. Because if there's anything I desire, it's to be a part of who you are. Wash my feet that I can walk in the calling that you have called me to. I tried to walk on water. I wasn't real successful for that. I said I'd go to the cross with you, and I denied you. Wash my feet, Lord, that wherever I step, I can walk in the calling that you have called me to. Did Peter glow in the dark after Jesus washed him? No. You know what he did? He turned right around and cut off the ear of Malchus, and he denied him three times. I want to tell you that when you get up from baptism and you mess up, or you feel like you've messed up, you hear the sound of the rooster, and the rooster says, huh, that was yesterday, but today's a brand new day. Today is a brand new day. Because when he washes you and anoints your feet, it's so that you can walk in everything that he has called you to do. And he said, Lord, don't just wash my feet. Wash my head, wash my hands, wash my eyes, my ears, wash my heart, wash everything about me. That I see you, I hear you, I speak you, I walk in your way. That my hands are instruments of your will and your work. That's what I want. That's what baptism does for us. It reminds us who we are in Christ and who Christ is in us. And then whatever he says to you, just do it. Nike stole that from the Bible. That wasn't new. Jesus said it first 2,000 years ago. Whatever he says to you, just do it. Stand with me this morning. Whatever he says to you, just do it. Sometimes he speaks in the still small voice. Sometimes it's in the thunder and the lightning. Sometimes it's through a donkey. Sometimes it's through a rooster. The voice of the rooster is just the voice of somebody says, that was yesterday. Today's a brand new day. The voice of the donkey said, don't you see Jesus? When Saul was thrown off of the donkey and the donkey rebelled and he was mad at the donkey says, don't you see an angel? You know, there's sometimes when we feel like life has thrown us off and kicked us off and we feel like we are laying in despair. But what the voice of the donkey says, don't you see the angel? Don't you see the Jesus in the midst of this? Don't you see Jesus in the midst of death? Don't you see Jesus in the midst of chaos? Don't you see Jesus in the midst of job changes? Don't you see Jesus in the midst of family affairs? You've got to open your eyes to see Jesus. Amen? And then whatever he says to you, just do it. I want to give you opportunity as Beth plays the piano this morning. Just close your eyes with me. If you feel that tug or the call of the Holy Spirit this morning to come to the altar and you want to accept Jesus as your personal Savior, I invite you to come. We would love nothing more than to pray with you and help you experience Jesus. If you need prayer, whatever it is, whatever your need is today, our altars are open. But if you just need God to speak to you, I just want you to ask him, the Lord, today, say, dear Lord, whatever you say to me, help me to hear you, and then help me to just do it. In Jesus' name. Our altar is open. Let's sing.